Take your Bibles this morning. Let's all stand. And we're going to turn to Galatians chapter 5 and read one verse starting out this morning. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 15. This morning I'll be preaching the second sermon in the series that I started last Sunday morning on Take Heed and Beware. And what we're doing is we're just going through all the different places in the Bible for we are told to take heed and beware of something. Now, so far, and this morning, we'll just be covering the take heeds. If somebody tells you to take heed about something, they're telling you to consider it, look at it. You better contemplate the thing. It's something worth looking at. And I believe when there's statements of take heed and beware in the Bible, those are things that we ought to look at. Now, I don't have time to go into deep coverage of each one of these points. I can't exhaust it by no means. That's not even what the purpose of preaching this series is about. The purpose of preaching this series is for me to draw your attention as a congregation to all the times we are told to take heed and to beware of something in the Bible. Bring it to your attention and then you study it out. You pray about it. You make sure that you're right with God on the thing, okay? So that's what this thing is about this morning. That's where we're at. And we're going to start with our first point this morning. And that's in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 15. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Brother LaVon, would you pray for the message this morning, and then we'll get right on into it and go with it this morning. Yes, Lord Jesus, help us. Yes. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. Now, the first take heed we're going to look at this morning is that we don't devour one another. And if you were going to devour something, what would you use to devour it? Your mouth. I plan on devouring some groceries after this service is over. And that will be done with my mouth. And I'm here to tell you that there is a take heed. There is a warning. And I want you to notice that he's writing this warning to the churches in Galatia. He's writing this warning to Christians. This ain't just to people out in the world. It's understood that they're going to run their mouth. And now it needs to be understood that people in the church, good old Christian people, will do the same. This is a warning. And I believe it doesn't just go to the individual. Of course, the individual in your life as a Christian, you need to be careful what you do with your mouth. But I'm telling you right now, that Christians do more damage with that mouth and ruining a church than any other thing. I've heard it said several times. How many of you heard this said when a church would split or they'd have problems and the split or they'd lose a lot of people, go down from running a lot of people to a little, somebody say, well, you know, brother, the devil just got in the church. Any of you ever heard that? Maybe some of you said that. Well, I want to tell you many times we're blaming the devil for something he didn't have nothing to do with. It wasn't that the devil got in the church. It was your big mouth. It was flesh is what it was. And I'm telling you, we have to be careful. The Bible says for us to take warning, take heed, that we don't devour one another with our mouth. Rumors. Just starting rumors. Spreading rumors. Well, preacher, I didn't start it, but a reliable source from a reliable source from a reliable source said it was true. Oh, shut your big mouth, man. Why would you spread something you don't even know if it's true? And by the way, if you knew it was true, if you knew for a fact it was true, and it wasn't going to do nothing but hurt or hinder somebody, why would you spread it anyway? Amen, that's right. Fussing, fighting, gossip in the church. You know what you're doing? I have a picture of it. You're just eating one another, devouring one another, consuming one another. And the Bible says we got to take heed of that stuff. Listen, I talk about that often. I talk about people getting on the phone lines and talking about folks and talking about the preacher and talking about what's going on in church. I bring that up very often around here, and I don't know. Do you know why I do that? Because it's such a problem. Because I've got enough sense, and I hope some of you do too, that kind of junk is what will ruin this good work of God here. That's what will destroy this church. It's just one person in this church, and then getting a person over here and a person over there to listen to that junk. If you want to, there's a lot. Listen, we all have stuff about us that ain't good. We all have stuff about us that's bad. I mean, if you're a lint picker, you can find plenty on me to pick. But we can't be gracious and merciful and watch what we say and watch what we do. And be careful that we don't destroy one another with our mouth. And I'm telling you, a lot of churches are destroyed. A lot of Christians are destroyed with this thing right here. Why don't you encourage one another? Why don't you pray for one another? Why don't you be a blessing to one another? Not taking that thing right there to run your mouth about somebody else. Happens all the time. It does. And I'm telling you, that thing right there is what will split a church right in half. That mouth. You have to watch that thing now. You have to watch that thing. And I'm telling you, this is your take heed. This is your warning. Listen, I'm not going to preach much more on this. I'm not going to go into detail. Listen, I could run all kind of references if I had the time this morning. All kind of references about the tongue and about backbiting and about talking about folks and all that kind of stuff. I'm not going to take the time to run those references. I'm just telling you there's a warning in this Bible that we devour not one another. That we don't take our mouths and ruin one another. And I just want to tell you this. If you're one of those kind that does, you do like to gossip and you do like to talk about other people, just remember this. That while you've got your circle of friends around you gathered up and you're giving them the juicy information, somewhere there's another circle gathered once somewhere. And guess who is the subject of their conversation? I have found that out, that the talk-abouters get talked about. So if you think you're some high, mighty, lifted up person and you're drawing all this attention to you while you degrade and put other folks down, I'm telling you there's somewhere along the line, brother, they're doing it to you. And probably that bunch you're talking to this, yeah. When you walk out, then they're talking about you. That's exactly how it goes. I've seen it. And you've seen it too, and you know it. But we need to take heed that we don't destroy one another, destroy our Christian walk, destroy this church, destroy the work of God, destroy our testimony with that mouth. All right, look at the next thing. Look over in the book of Colossians. Book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. Now, it's a real quiet spirit in here this morning. I understand that. And the song service has been quiet and the preaching is sort of quiet and everything. You know, not in a great spirit in here like we have sometimes. That's all right. I'm just going to trudge through it boot by boot. Letter by letter, word by word. We're going to get this thing preached. And you stay with it. This may be the day God really, really, really helps you if you'll hang in there. All right, the next one's Colossians chapter 4, verse number 17. Colossians 4, verse number 17. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Take heed in the ministry that thou hast received in the Lord. Listen, when God gives you a ministry, we are to do two things. We are to receive it. That means surrender to that ministry. Humble yourself to that ministry. Accept the call of God. Receive the call of God. Surrender to the call of God. And then we're to fulfill it. And this is just one of the points. I don't know. You may be sitting here and say, I don't have a ministry. I believe you do. Just because you don't preach or teach doesn't mean you don't have a ministry. There's all kind of things that God's called you to do to minister to other people. But especially if you're here today and you're a preacher or a teacher, may this be a warning to you. May this be a consideration to you that God is telling you and God's telling me as a minister of the gospel to take heed to our ministry and that we fulfill it. And that we do it. We receive it in the Lord and that we fulfill it. We do what He's called us to do. Many people are running from the call of God. We was talking about that some this morning. We have a lot of Jonas that's running from the call of God. But I'm going to tell you something. God's still got a big whale for you. God's got a way to change your mind. God's got a way to change your heart. And if there's anybody in here this morning, and I don't believe it's just by happenstance that I'm preaching this point this morning to you people. I believe there's probably somebody in here today that you are running from God in some kind of way. God has definitely put on your heart to do something or to fulfill some type of ministry or to minister somewhere. God's speaking to your heart. Maybe the Holy Ghost has got His finger on your heart about what He wants you to do. And you haven't fulfilled that ministry. You haven't done what God called you to do. You haven't surrendered to God like He told you to do. And God's telling you to do it today. You better take heed. Take heed to do what He's called you to do. And if you don't do it, you could be in trouble. How do you fulfill your ministry? Work at it. Labor at it. Don't quit at it. Boy, if I quit every time I got discouraged or every time I didn't see results, I never even came to this church. You can't quit. You got to keep going. You got to take heed to fulfill it. Hey, don't get sidetracked in your ministry with the way the modern way they're doing it. Let's keep doing it the biblical way. You got to watch all that stuff. God wants you to take heed to it. And what I've seen a lot in my life is that many people start their ministry, but they don't finish it. And I'm going to tell you something. We are to run the race. I want to have the testimony that Paul did. I fought the good fight. I kept the faith. What did he say? He said, I finished. I finished my race. Do you know that Paul, when he died, and tradition says he died having his head chopped off on a chopping block after he had been in prison for about 2 years then. But when he died, this is a testimony that he had. I've finished my race. You know what he was saying? He was saying, I did everything God asked me to do. I did everything God put me on this earth to do. I have fulfilled my calling to God, and now I'm going to be with Him. There's very few people, I believe, that will ever be able to die and say, I have finished my race. What's that old gospel song, Don't Let Me Leave Behind Any Unfinished Task? I believe a lot of Christians are going to leave it behind. Listen, take heed. If there's something God, I'm telling you again before I move on to the next point. If there's something God's dealing with you about this morning. If there's something that God's stirring your heart up about this morning. And about a ministry and what you ought to do and fulfilling it. Don't put it off no longer. Don't reject it. Don't run from it. Surrender to it. Take heed that you fulfill your ministry. Number three, it's in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Verse number 12, here's another take heed. It's most certainly a warning. That's a warning for all of us. This is one of those scriptures you need to memorize if you ain't got it memorized. You need to underscore it in your Bible if you do that. You need to be aware of it. You need to have a part of your life. You're going to need this verse. You're going to need it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth, what? Take heed, lest he fall. Now, the key thing there is that you're to take heed, lest you fall. Who is to take heed, lest you fall? Those that think they stand. Those that think they got it. Listen, you better take heed. If you're sitting here this morning and you think you're totally fine with God and you think you're God's super Christian and you have arrived and you're above temptation anymore, I'm telling you, you're the man, you're the woman that needs to hear this verse. And I tell you, if you're sitting here and you're saying, I never do that again. That's one thing I hear Christians say. Boy, I've been delivered of that. I'll never do that again. I'll never give into that again. No, don't say that. You don't know what you'll do if you listen. If you walk away from the Lord and get out in the world and backslide and you're not filled with the Spirit of God anymore and you're walking according to the flesh, there's no telling what you might say or do. Or where you might go or what you may get involved with. And I'm telling you, right before the fall, you read the Bible says it, it sure is true. Before every man falls, comes pride. I'm a good Christian. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Look at me. Look how I'm walking. I'm fine. I would never do that. Uh-huh. You wouldn't. No, you might do something worse. I'm going to tell you folks something. And some of you in here, and I thank God for it, you're a trophy of grace. God has delivered you out of a bad life. Good. There's some of you in here, you could give testimony this morning that He's got you off drugs. He's got you off alcohol. He's got you out of sexual sin and immoral stuff. And you can praise the Lord for it. But let me tell you, don't you poke your chest out. Don't you get high and mighty. Don't you look at some of your friends and other people that still live in that lifestyle and strut around like a peacock thinking, boy, look what I've done. Listen, first of all, you ain't done nothing. You'd still be out there in that slop if it wasn't for the grace of God. And second of all, if you don't stay filled with the Holy Ghost and stay in church and stay in your Bible and stay on your knees, you'll be right back out there with them. Yeah, I'm talking to you, you and you, and me. You take heed. You think you stand, you better be warned, you better take heed. Listen, that's why I tell folks, they say, well, boy, I'm super Christian now. God delivered me of all that junk. I can run around with my old drinking buddies. I can run around with my old doping buddies. They don't bother me. You are a fool. You are a fool if you think that. They will bring you back down. They will bring you back to their side. Let me ask you something. Get anybody here. Stand on this table, this communion table. It'll be all right. Everybody exhale. Stand on the communion table. Stand on the communion table. Have somebody stand on the floor. And you try to pull them up on the communion table, let them try to pull you down. I'm trying to think of the... You take old Ross over there. Ross got a broke arm. He don't weigh one third of what I weigh probably. But I'm going to tell you this right now. You put Ross on the floor and put me up here on the table, I bet you Ross will pull me down before I pull him up. Because the gravity of a sin cursed, sin fallen world pulls you down, not up. Not up, it's down. So you go on, mister. I've arrived and I've got it all taken care of and I'm super Christian and I don't do that kind of stuff no more. And I don't hang around with folks like that no more. You get back around them. You get to thinking you're something spiritual and thinking you've arrived. You'll be right. They'll pull you down a lot quicker than you'll ever pull them up where you're at. I know that for a fact. And you better take heed. You better take heed that you don't fall. You better give attention. You know, when Christians become confident, they let down their guard, don't they? And when they let down their guard, bad things happen. Like David, a good man who loved God, a man after God's own heart. He let down his guard. Next thing you know, he's committing adultery, and it don't stop there. He has a woman's, an innocent man, he has a murder. And the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. He loved God. He probably loved God more than most anybody in here today. And if he can do that, what do you think we can do? You think about Peter. He goes from cutting a fella's ear off and you ain't going to touch Jesus. Don't you do that. To cursing and saying, blankety blank, I don't know Jesus. I don't know him. And he fell just that quick. I think about Samson. Listen, he had the Nazarite vow. He had the Holy Ghost of God on him. He could do anything in this world almost that you could think of. And he turned away to women and laid his head in the lap of Delilah. She cut his hair off and he was a nothing. You know what it was? And when you read that story, he would tell her a lie about what his power was, and he'd jump up and get out of there and tear off the gates and do whatever he wanted to. But that Bible says that when he jumped up that last time, that he did not know that the Spirit had departed from him. I'm telling you what, he was confident, he was prideful. He thought, I'll just jump up like I did every time before. I'll whip anybody that wants to fool me. I'll tear this whole place down. And he didn't know that the Holy Ghost of God had left him. He was powerless. And I'm telling you, that's what you better take heed. Every one of us better take heed to our Christian walk. Just because we're full of God today, just because we're in church today, just because we're in our Bible today and praying today, don't mean you will be by this time next Sunday. You have to stay focused on Christ. You have to stay in that book. You have to stay humble. You have to pray. You have to beg the Spirit of God to lead you, and you have to submit to it. Every day you got to take up your cross. Every day. Because the day you lay your cross down is the day that old devil in that flesh is going to get a hold of you. I'm telling you, you better take heed. You better take heed lest you fall. A few more this morning. Turn to Psalm 31. Psalm 39. We're not going to preach very long today, but we're going to cover a few of these. Psalm chapter 39. Psalm chapter 39 and verse number 1. Now, this is an interesting one. It's talking about taking heed, considering. And this thing says that just every once in a while, you ought to look into what you're doing. You ought to consider what you're doing. You need to be warned about what you're doing. Look here, Psalm 39, verse number 1. Psalm 39, verse number 1. O Lord, rebuke me not. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong verse. I said, I will take heed to what? To my ways. Why? That I sin not with my tongue, I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. He said, I'm going to take heed to my ways. There's another place over there, I believe in Proverbs, where it says, ponder your path. You know what you and I ought to do every once in a while? Listen to me. We ought to stop every once in a while, just get real quiet before the Lord, be still and know that He is God, get real quiet before God, and just say, God, try me. See if there be any wicked thing in my heart. And just think about, listen, I'm serious. Just stop and ponder for a while and just think about, where's my life heading? What road am I traveling? What am I engaged in daily? How are my actions affecting others? How do I stand before God? I know you stand before God as a righteous individual if you're saved, but I'm talking about practically. Am I doing what God wants me? Listen, every once in a while, we just need to sit down and just have an evaluation of our Christian walk. Do it yourself. That's why that Bible says over there that says that if you judge yourself, you won't have to be judged of God. And the reason we're judged of God is because we don't judge ourselves. What's that thing over there? I believe Nebuchadnezzar says it, when he comes out of being a beast over there in Daniel 4. He talks about those that are prideful. God knows how to abase. And the idea is there. Listen, you humble yourself, or God will humble you. I don't know about you, but I'd rather humble myself than God have to humble me. I'd rather judge my own self than God have to judge me. I'd rather take a look at my own ways and my own wickedness, and by God's help get it straight, than God have to bring it to my attention. And I think you and I just need to take heed. We need to pay attention to our ways. Consider how you're living. Before we move on to our final point, I want you to do that. I want you to just sit back for a moment. And the thing I want you to do is I just want you to say, Holy Spirit, show me something today. Show me something maybe I don't even realize. I'm deceived about my own self. I want to take heed to my ways. What are my ways? Are they ways of righteousness? Are they ways of unrighteousness? Are they biblical ways? Are they worldly ways? How am I conducting myself? How am I living? What's my motivations in life? What am I trying to achieve in life? Where am I headed on this path that I'm on? What is the goal of my life? Where is this path I'm on going to take me? Listen, you need to sit down and think about all that stuff. People have goals, and they have places they want to go and things they want to attain in every facet of their life, except for spiritually. And spiritually is the most important. You've got business goals, you've got family goals, you've got educational goals, you've got I want this much money and this job status and this paid off by then, and I'm going to have this much land and do this. And well, why don't you ever sit down and just consider your ways? Take heed to your ways. See what you... Why don't you have a spiritual goal? Anybody in this church got any spiritual goals? You know, I want to read my Bible more. I want to pray more. I want to see my children get saved this year. I want to get my grandchildren plugged into God. I want to give more money than I ever gave to the Lord this year. I want to give more time than I've ever gave to God this year. I want to win a soul for God this year. I want to be involved. My goal is to love God more than I ever have. Just sit down every once in a while and just look at yourself and ask yourself and ask God, you know, take heed to your ways. And I'll tell you this before I move on to the last point. I believe a lot of us wouldn't get near as messed up if we'd have a weekly, at least a weekly evaluation where we take about 10 minutes and just sit down and be quiet before God and say, Holy Spirit, speak. Tell me, what road am I on? Tell me, am I deceived about anything? Tell me where I'm going. Because I want to consider my ways. I want to take heed to my ways. Are my ways the ways of God? Are they the ways of the world? And we need to do that often. All right, one more. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And this is an important one. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we'll be reading verse number 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 16. Now, you know who Timothy is. He's a young preacher. And Paul is speaking to this young preacher, giving him some instructions. And I want you to notice what he says to him. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 16. He says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continuing them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And the last thing I want to talk about this morning is taking heed to the doctrine. To the doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine is teaching. It's instruction. It's how we are to do things and how we are not to do things. It's how God says things ought to be run and how they ought not be ran. It's instructions. And that's what doctrine is. Doctrine is important. Listen, your doctrine is, in essence, more important than devotional to some extent. In other words, you have to start out with correct doctrine, and then once you get some correct doctrine, I believe your devotional is just as important or more important because God's looking at your heart, and God wants your heart to be right, and even though you may not have everything that you believe exactly right, if you've got a heart for God, that's why God uses a lot. Listen, any of you ever known great preachers and great men and women of God that God used? But they weren't just exactly doctrinally right because their heart was right with God. However, doctrine is important, especially in the matter of salvation. Listen, you can be sincere. Listen to me this morning. Don't lose me. You can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. I don't doubt a bunch of those Jehovah Witnesses are sincere. I don't doubt a bunch of those Mormons that come to my door are sincere. But they are sincerely wrong and they're going to go to hell when they die. That's exactly right. And that's why doctrine is important. And the emphasis is not put on doctrine anymore. It's just, oh, let's have non-denominational churches. Listen, I'm not putting down non-denominational churches. I know some of them are good. I know some of their pastors love God. And I know there's some wonderful Christian people that love the Lord as much and more than some of us do in those churches. I'm not putting them down. But I am not for just saying, let's just all come together and put away our differences. Like I heard this fellow one time, he went to a Promise Keepers convention. He said, you know, when I reached over there and held my Jehovah Witness brother in the hand and held my, I don't know what he said, Catholic brother in the hand, and we were just all men there for the Lord, I felt good. You might have felt good, but that wasn't of God. That Jehovah Witness ain't my brother. And I'm going to tell you what the big thing is. Take the denomination off. Take the words off the sign. Just have a non-denominational so everybody can get in here. Don't worry about doctrine. Don't worry about what we believe. Don't worry about what the Bible says. Let's just all come together and rally around Jesus Christ and just have one big hootenanny. The problem is, God says, doctrine does matter. You are to take heed to it. There is right and wrong ways I want that church to be conducted. There is right and wrong things in ministry. There is right and wrong things in the way you do things in your life and in that church. I'm not hooking up with somebody that says I'm saved one day and lost the next. Listen. They're my Christian friends. I love them. I love them deeply. We're going to the same heaven. But I'm not going to be a member of a church where a man's up there telling me I'm lost one day and saved the next. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be a member of a church that says if you haven't spoken tongues, you don't have the Holy Ghost. I'm not fooling with that. I'm not going to be a member of a church where a fellow gets up there and says, if you don't get baptized by an elder of this church, you're not going to heaven. I'm not hooking up with that crowd. That's not good doctrine. That's full of the devil. I'm not going to do it. And you will not do it. And this very idea, let's just throw doctrine out the window. Let's just don't care what everybody believes. As long as we listen. As far as getting to heaven, if you put your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone, we'll all be there. But this matter of doctrine, there's a reason why we don't all go to church together, folks. And I heard folks say denominations ain't in the Bible. They sure ain't. But because men rather do it their way than the doctrinal way, you have that. And I'm not saying the Baptists are perfect. The Baptists are messed up about a lot of things. But this is as close as it is. The Baptist is as close to the truth that I've ever been able to find. And I'm going to tell you something else. This may shock you. I don't really give a rip. If I ever found something closer to the truth than a Baptist, I'd be one of them and not a Baptist. Because my main concern ain't being a Baptist. Heard a fellow say one time he went out in a graveyard and the thing on the tombstone says she was a good Baptist. Well, if that's all she was, she's good and burning in hell right now. I said, if all the only testimony she had was she was a good Baptist, she's burning in hell right now. I want to be more than a Baptist or anything else. I want to be a Bible-believing Christian that's doing what this book says. I don't give a rip what they say up in Nashville. I don't care what they say up in the association. I don't care what they say on the radio. I don't care what the big dogs say here and they say there. I just want to do what this old King James Bible says. That's the kind of Christian I am. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of Christian I am. But we've got to take heed to doctrine. God wants you to be saved, and He wants you to come to the knowledge of the truth. And the truth matters. And I appreciate Brother Steve. Listen, I'm going to say this. I'm getting ready to close. I know sometimes I see some of the expressions of the men in there, and I know you can't get everything at one time. I know that. And I know you'd rather hear somebody hooping and hollering and keeping your attention and all that. I understand all that. But that thing that Brother Steve is doing in that men's Sunday school class is just as important, and for some of you, more important than what I'm giving you right now. Because he's teaching you what that book says, how you're to live and how you're not to live and how to rightly divide that Bible. And if you don't know that, I don't care how sincere your heart is, you'll be sincerely wrong. Some of you ought to get to Sunday school and get some teaching in this book. Now, here at the end, I'm feeling like preaching. I'm getting ready to close. Continuing them. Continuing those doctrines. Do it right. Do right. That's something you ought to take heed to. Listen, let me ask you this in closing. What do you believe? What do you believe, and why do you believe it? Well, I was always raised a Baptist. That's pitiful. I'm in a Baptist church because my great-great-granddaddy was a Baptist, and my granddaddy, I wouldn't join nothing for that. Well, my great-great-granddaddy was an axe murderer. Is that what you're going to be? Huh? Listen, You ought to know what you believe. You ought to know why you believe it. And you ought to be able to take this book and show it to me. Not what the bylaws say. Not what, well, you know, Uncle so-and-so, he was down here and he dug out the first baptism pool. Well, I ain't worried about Uncle so-and-so. I was witnessing to one of my family members one time, and we was in Okra Patch, and he stood up and he said, well, my philosophy is blah, blah. God don't give a rip about your philosophy. What did he say? What did he say do? And when you start getting us all together and just throwing, don't worry about what he says, let's just all get together. You know what you got? You got a modern day Tower of Babel. All right, every head bowed, eye closed. Every head bowed, eye closed. I don't know what God's speaking to you about this morning.